garlic cheese bread, steak sandwich, and their homemade white French dressing. Biggie's is family friendly and also provides catering, whether it's for 5 or for 500. Located at 3332 Watson Road, check them out online at biggiesrestaurant.com.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Looking to wet your whistle? Well, Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill has you covered. Swing by one of Hotshot's 11 area locations and try the featured beer of the month. This month, enjoy a pint of Bud Light. It's available for only $3 at Hotshot's throughout February. There'll be a new featured beer each month in 2019, and you can get the straight skinny on all of them at HotShotsNet.com. Hotshot's, all the games, all the time, for over 25 years.
Grizz fans, grab your tickets for Wednesday, February 27th to watch your home team take on one of the league's most historic franchises, the Chicago Bulls. It's time to get Memphis and grab your tickets today by calling 901-888-HOOP or shopgrizzlies.com.
Man, I accidentally watched, I don't know, like 10 minutes at the most of a horrible show last night. Has anybody watched this? I think it's So You Think You Can Dance or something. Jennifer Lopez is one of the judges. You know what I'm talking about?
Is that that dance competition where they're like, it's not dancing with stars, it's just regular people who come up and try to audition?
It's all this improvisational modern dance type. It was horrible. I just thought, man, what's this about? And we got too many of these shows now. Too many of these talent shows. What do we got? America's Got Talent.
X Factor, The Voice.
American Idol, The Voice. Yeah, holy cuss, you know.
You've got a weird button pressed.
Is Jennifer Lopez... Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Is this the one where Jennifer Lopez is on the panel?
I just said she's one of the judges. Oh, okay. I just said that. You should listen.
He doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, were you? All right, folks, I'm going to do a little business here, and while I do that... Oh, you know what? I just got... Hang on a second.
What? He is?
Okay, many of you may know we have a meteorologist on retainer, but he only files a report when there's significant weather. Frankie McDonald. Let's go now to Frankie McDonald and this weather forecast.
This is Frankie McDonald, my own team station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. There is a major snowstorm and winter storm headed towards Missouri on Sunday, March 3rd, 2019. It's going to bring up to 6 to 12 inches of snow. It's going to bring a lot of snow. Winds are going to be really strong. It's going to cause flowing drifts of snow. Sense of cold air is coming from the north. Once the snowstorm is over, temperatures are going to turn brutally cold in the state of Missouri, including St. Louis, Missouri, East St. Louis, Illinois. Sunday, March 3rd, 2019. Take care. Stay safe. Don't get caught in a major winter storm. Be safe. And stay warm. Have a nice day.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought you said as soon as you said that, you were going to hit the Londoff thing. You told me that.
I did tell you that. I thought we were going to do a live spot before thing. It's my fault.
No, you're the one that said, once Frankie's finished, I'll hit the Londoff team. You said that.
I did.
Those words.
I messed up.
This is uncomfortable.
Again, you got to stop thinking about your little daughter or little son right now, because he or she is 7 months away. Okay, so, you know, relax. And now, here's the theme for the Johnny Londoff commercial.
See the USA in your America is asking you to call.
Stop the music for a second. I think Dan's got a point. It was awkward. Edit out all of that and we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up right where Frankie has ended his report, and you'll hit the Londoff music once you take the edit.
Okay, I got it.
Radio edit.
Don't get caught in a major winter storm. Be safe. Stay warm. Have a nice day.
Be the
perfect.
Wow.
See, what we've learned here in the last 5 minutes is Dan doesn't listen to the show and Limey doesn't listen to Frank.
Right. Or the show.
In other words, just another day. Just another show. Oh, Mr. Landoff can't be with us today. Boy, I wonder why. Tree crushed a big section of his house, but I will do the honors. I have a vehicle at my house. It may be my... This is going to sound weird, because I've had some nice cars. I've had a lot of new cars. The best value, I guess, is the Trailblazer that I have, because... It's 15 years old. It has 50,000 miles on it, which is nothing. Drives and runs like it's brand new. And the reason I mention it is that I bought it at Johnny Landoff. Obviously, it was pre-owned. When I got it, it was probably 8 years old, maybe 7 years old. So I've had it a while. I mention that because, look, I know that all of you know Johnny Landoff sells new Chevrolets, but they also sell pre-owned Chevrolets, and they also sell pre-owned other things that aren't Chevrolets. But they're not going to sell you something that they don't feel is worthy of being sold by that dealership. In other words, if it's a piece of junk and there's a lot that's wrong with it, they're not going to put it on the lot. So you can rest assured that whatever you buy pre-owned from Johnny Landoff is going to give you lots and lots and lots of miles and miles of great service. And, of course, they sell Chevrolets. I sincerely believe that any business, I don't care if it's a car dealership or dentist or financial advice or banking or whatever it is, I think what makes or breaks a business is how they treat people. I don't care if it's a restaurant. You can have really, really good food. If the service is lousy and the people are rude, you're not going back. You can have pretty good food, but if they love going there, they're coming back. Same with the car dealership. A Chevy's a Chevy. Fire's a fire. Grill's a grill. That's the St. Louis thing. Anywhere you go, that Malibu, like the one Limey got, there are other Malibus like that at other dealerships. You want a new Silverado pickup truck? Lots of dealers have them. That's not what separates any dealer from another dealer. Price could, if there's a dealership dumb enough to price their vehicles higher than anybody else, that's not going to last long. And these people that say, we'll beat anybody's deal or give you $500, well, that's ridiculous. They never have to give the $500 because they could beat a deal by a nickel, and they've done what they said they'd do. You're not going to get a better deal anywhere than you're going to get Landoff. You're not. So now what's left? What's left? We got selection, we got inventory, we got new Chevys, we got pre-owned. All that's left is how they treat people. Would you do business there and want to come back and do business there again? The answer is yes. And you're going to tell your spouse to go there, and your kids, and your parents, and neighbors, and coworkers. Oh my goodness, what a great place to buy a car. That's it. That's why they do as well as they do. And have for the entire time they've been sitting at that location since 1960. The Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 or 24/7 at Landoff.com. Well, it is time to check in with your pet's best friend. I've already gotten an email saying, once again, Tim doesn't know what he's talking about. So now somebody's going to take Tim to task over something he said earlier. We'll get to that. And it's animal related. It's pigeon and rat related.
Yeah, and someone called, too.
Paul, we'll just say it now and get it out of the way.
Pigeons are not
they said, I just watched it. A listener sent me the video. It's a rat swallowing a pigeon, not the other way around.
No, it's not.
I saw the rat eat the pigeon.
You're not watching the same video that I watched talking about on the New York Post website yesterday. I'm not insane. It was a bird eating a dead rat.
Oh, okay, maybe it was
that listener. To that listener, I say you're watching the wrong video. Go watch the other one.
But someone called and said pigeons are not carnivores; they eat seed and stuff like that. So
now I'm going to find it.
Wow.
It could be another. Right. It could be a different bird, and not a
pigeon. Tim needs to find it and put it on our Facebook page.
Okay.
We need to do that. And now back to the business at hand. Dr. Doug Pernikoff is with us. He is your pet's best friend. He's the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. And if you'd like, oh, he's brought to you by Window World. That's important. Window World, the number one selling window in the United States. Number one selling replacement window. And, I might add, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Doug, here are the numbers, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Now, folks, remember how this works. As soon as a caller finishes with Dr. Doug, it opens a line. Start dialing those two numbers. You'll get through. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, your pet's best friend, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Today.
Well, we're doing terrific, Doc. How are you?
I am AM in the PM.
Of course you are. Let's start here. Can a pigeon eat a rat?
Yes, so here's the deal. Pigeons are typically going to be eating grains and stuff, but how many pigeons have you seen at McDonald's in the parking lot eating whatever little fleck you give them? So they're not going to live on meat. But if they ate a little bit of this or that opportunistically, they could do that. And
could a pigeon swallow a rat whole?
No, of course not. He would just be plucking at a dead body, kind of like a crow does on the road, and trying to find some little niblet to take. So, but, you know.
Maybe this wasn't a pigeon. The only thing I'm mistaken on may be the make of bird, because this video I saw yesterday, the bird swooped down. It picked this rat up, flipped it up in the air, and it swallowed it whole, and then it was so heavy it couldn't fly away because the weight of the rat was keeping it down.
That sounds like some kind of a bird of prey or raptor, and it could have been even a small bird, like a little falcon, a kestrel we call them, could do a small rat like that and kind of do it, or even a smaller red-tailed hawk or something.
They do use kestrels for pest control in New York City and falcons as well. So yeah,
they do. Well, in St. Louis downtown, they had
said the former exterminator, Limey Phillips, who was an exterminator. All right, well, we got that out of the way. Tim was right, except for the pigeon part.
Right.
I'd still like to see that video. I love stuff like that. And then the listener that sent me a video of the rat eating the pigeon. Boy, that rat tore that pigeon up.
I found that too.
Thing up. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense because the rat's going to eat whatever he can eat. So
let's take some calls, and if we get downtime between calls, there's a subject I want to address with you. But right now we do have calls. One more time for the numbers, because when our first caller again finishes, jump on these numbers, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. We start with Tom, and I believe we also have one line open. Tom, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Tom, we're great. How are you?
How are you, Tom?
I am AM in the PM.
There you go.
How can I help you?
All right. Dr. Doug, I, for the longest time, thought that you could forego the tick and flea treatment for dogs during, you know, the colder winter months.
I like flick and tea.
My my little Jack Russell had the biggest damn tick on it, and we had kind of given him a break from, during the winter months. Is it common for ticks to still be about in the cold winter months?
Well, it's not common, but, you know, we have a couple of days here and there of 50, 59 degrees. I guess it's possible that you could have a break. We have the same issue with mosquitoes in a warm kind of winter period. And that's why we tell people to continue to use the heartworm throughout. Now, it's a lot less dangerous to have a tick on you.
That was a pigeon trying to eat your dog.
Well, I heard that when pigeon swooped down, the rat had a British accent, and He said, "You're going to eat me whole?" And he goes, "No, when I come to that part, I'm going to spit it out."
I like that.
That's good. Dan, do you want to apologize for butting into my discussion?
No. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, Dr. Doug. Yeah, I noticed that. Oh, I think we all did.
Go ahead, Doug. Sorry.
Anyway. It can happen. It can happen, Tom.
Ooh, anyway.
And
I got
the
anyway.
Best thing you did was to pull it. I assume you got it out. And
we did, but...
Yeah.
So my question is... Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, most people would continue. Most vets would suggest continuing the flea and tick all the way through.
Dr. Doug, you sound like you got a sock in your mouth. What'd you do? You moved the phone or something.
Really? How's that?
That's better.
Okay. So, a lot of people... Hello? Okay?
All right. Mark.
Okay. Yeah, I would suggest that you keep the medications going until the first several days of good frost right in a row. But again, there's always the possibility that there's going to be a break and something's going to come out. I mean, you even see when we have a couple days of warm weather, you actually have plants trying to resurge. So that's a possibility. It's not as frequent and as likely. So I think you're okay to continue with your program, that in the midst of winter, you shouldn't have to be doing those preventatives. But if you do, it's not going to hurt the pet, okay?
Okay. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. And am I nuts or is the screen blank?
No, you're right. No, it's we've got another Tom now.
Oh, okay, yeah, we do. And a line just opened because that Tom, two Toms, it's a Tom twin spin. That line just opened, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Tom number two, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, Doc, how's it going, man? Good, how about you? Well, you know, we got a situation, and my St. Bernard is pregnant, and as much as we love our dog, we can't, they're saying she's going to have 7 pups, and we don't know what to do, and I can't find no one that pick what kind of dog to adopt them or nothing, so... I'm asking you, man, how wiggering is it, man, if these pups are born and I go ahead and put a nail gun in their head?
What?
Whoa.
Why?
Are you serious? Are you serious?
What am I supposed to do, man? They're doing it to human beings. Why can't I do it to my pups?
Okay, here's what you do. Is how far along is she in her pregnancy? Do you have any idea?
She's due next week.
Okay. Well, I mean, you got a couple of choices. You can have wait and have the animals born, and then I'm sure if it's that type of breed, you can probably get those into some adoption program, and I think they would find homes. You don't have to do anything horrible to them. The other option would be...
Nobody wants them. I can't find nobody wants them.
You don't know that. Okay? Well, you don't know that till they're born, okay?
Not to interrupt, but...
Whatever, man. These Democrats are killing human beings the same way. Why can't I kill
them? Cut him off. Just cut him off. Just cut him off. First of all, I don't think the guy has a St. Bernard.
No.
I don't think there are any puppies. This is bogus. And, that's not... What do you say to a guy like that? Do I put a nail gun in their head? What's what the Democrats are doing to babies? This is not a political show. I know what he's talking about, third-term abortions. I know what he's talking about. But wrong place. Wrong place and wrong way. My goodness, Tom. Shame on you.
Lighten up, buddy.
Right. You could have made your point without saying put a nail gun in the head of the puppies.
Well, just for the record, if anybody does have any St. Bernard puppies that don't know what to do for them, I'm looking online, and they're going for, like, you know, anything for $1,000 to $3,000 a piece.
It doesn't matter. So, he doesn't have any puppies. Yeah. He's trying to find a way to weasel into a political agenda. And what a sad way to do it. Holy crap. Well, thank goodness Tom's no longer with us because we have a line open again. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. I think Joe is next. Joe, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Did you say Joe or John?
We said
I'm
Joe.
I'm John.
Well, then,
I'm John.
No. No, you're not.
Jeff?
Because Dan oh, put your name on the screen as Joe, so you're Joe. You just don't know it.
Okay, I'll be Joe.
I'll go with all John. Right. John, say hi to Dr.
John
Doug.
Joe.
Thanks, Bob. Anyway, I have a... I have a Yorkshire Terrier. He's about 10 years old, and he's diabetic, and he's insulin dependent. And we're having problems because he keeps losing weight because I'm only feeding him what it recommends on the dog food bag. And we feed him a weight management type dog food. Should I switch him over to regular dog food and maybe cut back on that? Or should I keep him on the weight management dog food and maybe just increase his portion?
Well, your veterinarian should be guiding you, and it's a combination of making sure that you have the proper dosing of insulin and the frequency of it, and then it's also a matter of using the right kind of dog food. There are foods now that are defined specifically for diabetic conditions, and those are going to be, okay, just like in humans, they're going to be lower carbohydrate, and they'll be, a more nutritious meal for a diabetic animal. So I think you have some options, but I really think you should be working with your veterinarian to kind of answer those questions, first of all, whether your dosing is correct. Sometimes they'll have you keep the dog for a day at the hospital, and they'll do a kind of a glucose curve, they call it, where they measure, give you the insulin, measure the levels of blood sugar throughout the course of the day, and that helps them determine how frequently in a day you should administer the drug and how much. So that's
right, and they did do that, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. They did do that, and we had him on 5 units twice a day, but then when he started losing weight, so I thought, well, I better give him some more food. But then his sugar would go up, and he'd start drinking more and urinating more, and so then I increased his insulin. I've been trying to balance it out, and it's just been a hectic, whirling. I don't know what to do. And I've tried talking to my vet, and
yeah. I would say I still think your best bet is to get them organized with the help of a veterinarian directly. And if you need to search around and find an alternative just to talk to somebody else, that's fine. There's also some very excellent medical specialists in the community, board certified medicine guys, that might be able to fine tune your management. Because in humans, when we're diabetic, we're much more concerned about those levels. In dogs, we have a much greater disparity from day to day, and we have a broader range of acceptance of the blood sugar levels, which doesn't make it right. It's just, it's harder for people to manage their dog like they would manage a human. So I still think
exactly.
Your best bet is to sit down with your veterinarian and say, look, we got to figure something out, or refer me to somebody who can do this differently. And there are a lot of different types of insulin. There's a lot of combinations of insulins you can be using, and there's just a lot of options that doesn't sound like you guys have explored yet. So I wouldn't give up.
It's no,
a challenge, but I wouldn't give up yet. I think you have a lot of options.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Doctor.
Okay. Good luck.
All right, John.
All right.
Thank you.
AM and the PM. AM and the PM.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. And that means a line is open. You know the numbers. I'm not going to give them to you again. I think you probably wrote them down or remembered them. Marcia, it's your turn. Marcia, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi,
I want to know if this is out of the ordinary. My daughter's got this golden doodle, okay? And last week they had to put it in a kennel for a few days. Because I couldn't watch it. It's too wild yet. Not wild, but it's a pup. And they had to get this puppy a flu shot. Is that out of the ordinary?
It depends on the holding facility. Some people demand it. Some programs demand it. And some don't worry about it. So it really depends on where you're going. Same thing
yes.
if you're going to go and get them bathed or something. Some programs say we need X, Y, and Z vaccines, and some don't. Concern themselves. So the
okay.
flu can be a problem, if it's not a problem till it's a problem kind of thing. It's not that frequent, but they're probably being responsible to their own liability, right? They'd rather have you
right.
protected and know that they're protected, so that helps them as well as a program. So I don't think it's wrong to do it.
Okay.
A lot of people don't do it and do fine. So it's your call.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't take it unless, they wouldn't watch it.
Right.
Until,
That's their policy.
You had to get that flu shot. And I didn't know if dogs would, puppies or whatever, would get a flu, but I guess they can. Sure.
Oh, absolutely. There's flu virus in dogs now. Actually, I think in Missouri, I think it started in the Kansas City area and kind of moved our way. Again, it's not that frequent in my experience, but they're just being protective in their policy, and I think it's not a bad thing. It's just their decision. And you either go there or go someplace else if you don't like the policy, right? So
okay.
I think you're
listen,
okay.
Greg, I want to tell you something. I never listened to you, but my husband, years ago, started listening to you on all the other stations that you were on. Well, then I got to finally start listening to you, and I've been listening to you for a long time.
Well, I really appreciate that. Marcia, I appreciate that, and I love your voice. Are you a little person?
Yes, I am, and I'm 83 years old.
Well, good for you. And you sound, you know, sometimes people's voices, I can almost always tell if a guy is really fat by the way he sounds, but also if somebody is small, and I'm just guessing you're very small, and I love
yes,
your voice,
and
thank you.
Huh? I shrunk. I lost a couple inches also.
Well,
but I weigh about 112.
Well, that's pretty small, and I can't afford to lose a couple of inches, if you know what I mean. Marcia, I'm glad.
I don't like it either, but what can I do? Everybody says, oh, you're so little now. Yeah. I said, well, I'm an old lady.
Right over her
and
head.
Everybody
well, Marcia.
Talk to me.
Well, know? I love talking to you. I love. You can call here anytime. I love to hear you talk.
Okay. All right.
Okay, Marcia. Okay. Thank you. Thank
bye-bye.
You, Marcia.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Frank, that's the same gal that called in 2 weeks ago and said she didn't understand why her little dog kept standing on its two hind legs, and we determined her vision was bad. It was one of her grandkids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by sounding?
Kidding, Marcia.
She sounded little. Yeah. You know.
Well, she sounds like the lady on the movie Go to the Light.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, didn't he? A little bit.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, it's a good movie.
Is it? I've never seen it. Let's get to Don in here. Oh, by the way, Marcia opened a line for you folks, but Don's here. Don, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Dr. Doug, how are you today, sir?
Good, and how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. On my way home from work, finally. Also, I'm AM and BM, too, guys.
That's good. That's good.
There we go. I've got a question for you. I've got a 10-year-old Sheltie, and he's not had any health problems. About a week ago, he stopped eating. He just would not eat anything. So I got to reading some forums and so on and so forth, and somebody suggested trying to feed him chicken and rice. So I tried it, and he eats it like it's nobody's business. Why did he stop eating dry dog food?
Well, a number of things could be going on. First of all, you would want to check inside his mouth, make sure he doesn't have any damaged or bad teeth that are causing him pain. Because when you switched him to chicken and rice, that's probably more of a soft diet, and he can maybe manipulate that where he can't the dry food. In some cases, I also see animals that just lose interest in a particular food stuff, and you start to mix in something like a little chicken or something and work it away again, and they get back on their diet. Or just find another diet. The other possibility, how old, you said it's a 10-year-old. So there could be other things that are causing nausea. And, again, a good examination, maybe a little blood work on a 10-year-old dog would be very, very appropriate just to rule out any other conditions that are starting. Even an x-ray would be useful or a urinalysis. Those are the things that any good veterinarian or doctor would even offer for their own human patients. And I think you have a right for a 10-year-old dog to go forth and try and find out more, because this might work for a while, and then all of a sudden it may stop working, and he might realize, hey, maybe there's something pressing on his stomach so he can't eat. There's a lot of possibilities that need to be ruled out, okay?
Okay, all right. I'll look into that and get him over to the vet. I have one more question if I've got time.
You have time. Do it.
Oh, good. I've got also a 2-year-old German Shepherd.
Okay.
This dog is a great dog. The only problem is she can't stop eating poop.
Okay.
you know, the other day she was out in the backyard, and I called the dogs in, and she picked up what I thought was a stick, and she came up to the front yard, and I said, give me, or to the front door, I said, give me that, and I took it and went to throw it back out in the yard and realized it was frozen poop.
At least, thank goodness it was frozen.
Yeah, no kidding, because that could have been messy, and it was dinner time for me, too, but that's beside the point.
Well, we've talked.
What is this talking?
Yeah, we've talked about this many times, and there is a product, at least there's multiple products, but the one that a lot of veterinarians use is called Forbid, and it's kind of a granular material you put into the diet every day, and they, it, for whatever reason, it kind of discourages them from wanting to eat poop. And then the other one I always talk about is Adolph's meat tenderizer, but that requires that you walk around the yard and salt the poops you find with the meat tenderizer. That seems to be a deterrent, too. Mm. And you may find other products at other veterinary clinics and also at pet shops that would say, hey, this product works as well for that same purpose.
Don, there is another, there's another way to do this, and it's disgusting, but I'm sure it will work. You need to go out in the yard, and you need to poop outside in your yard and then take a bite of it in front of your dog and then roll over and start screaming and yelling like you're about to die, and the dog will see that and go, oh, man, that makes you sick. That's horrible. I'm not going to do that. That's just a suggestion.
I considered doing that, but I just can't get by the, once I get to the smell of it, I mean, the taste of it's got to be good.
I know. That's a drastic measure, but, you know, it might work. Well, Don, thank you for the call. Good luck with your dogs.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you. Okay, Don, open the line, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Debbie, you have the stage. Welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. How are you?
Good, honey. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have a couple of Bichons, and they are white, and they have, as Bichons do, the brown that gets in their eyes.
Right.
Around their eyes, yeah. How do I keep that clean? I wash their face about every other day, but it still gets there real bad.
Aren't all Bichons white, by the way? Aren't they all white? No, I've never seen one that wasn't white.
Yeah, some of them have multiple color. They can be called a tricolor or just a, they might have some golden kind of butterscotch color mixed in a little bit. Debbie, the first thing I always do is make sure you kind of roll the eyelids back, the lower eyelid, and if that pink conjunctiva, the tissue around the eye, looks dark or irritated or swollen, that might be a cause for excess discharge. The other point is, and we've talked about this before, what I tell people to do is keep that area around the eye where it's draining, keep that groom down very short. And then what you can do is take a little Q-tip or a little cotton ball and gently, without getting material into the eye, you can use a little bit of peroxide and kind of clean that area and keep it white. And there are other products out there that a lot of them are based on peroxide base. But you can explore that again. Your veterinarian might help you with that as well. But those are some things that I found very useful for that condition. And it's a pain in the neck, and it's kind of, especially when you're trying to keep these dogs looking sharp. But you can manage it. You just have to stay on it more intently, I think. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, that'll work.
Try
thank
that.
You very much.
Let
I
know
appreciate
how that goes.
It.
Yeah. All right, Debbie, thank you. But it's never going to just go away, is it, Doc? That eye stuff with those dogs. Same thing with those Shih Tzus. They have that gunk in their eye.
Right, yeah. Certain dogs just produce a lot of that, and there's no way to predict who is and who isn't. But a lot of the smaller breeds, like you said, and the shorter-faced breeds, you see it more pronounced. And I think it just can't drain as well.
All right, we have lines open here, and in fact, they're all open right now, very briefly, 314-821 0590 or 855-282-8255. And while we wait to see if we get the other calls, there was a big article this morning in USA Today about pet insurance, health insurance for pets, and how that business has just boomed. I mean, it's a multi-billion-dollar business now, and they cite some examples, and they interviewed some people whose dogs had had to have, you know, major surgery, and how they're glad they were they had dog insurance or pet insurance. Is that pretty common now? I think most people don't have pet insurance. That's what I think.
You're right. I read some statistics last year that said only about 8% of the pet population owners use insurance programs, and it can be very useful. There's a lot of different programs. Sometimes the humane organizations sponsor these things. There are some, actually, I think there's some human insurance companies that now picked it up, and they're offering it as an alternative program for pet owners. So it is useful. You have to read the details, make sure that it fits the age and the predisposition of your animal. If you get an insurance and they're a puppy, it's going to possibly protect against certain things or costs, versus if your dog is an 8-year-old dog and they're going to come up with a lot more diseases, the rates and the services may be different. So you just need to sit down. And again, I always refer back to your veterinarian, but most veterinarians actually will define some alternative programs for people. And I actually was, when I first did my internship 36 years ago, I was in a program in California. We had the very first insurance company called VPI, Veterinary Pet Insurance, and now they're owned by, I forgot which one of the big human insurance companies now, so it persisted that long. But it's still an underused opportunity, and I think it could be very helpful for a lot of people.
Okay. Paul is next. Paul, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. I have a question about mixing pharmacy drugs for my dog. He's on a pain pill, carprofen. Can that be mixed with a high blood pressure medicine? I think it's pronounced amlodipine desalate.
You know, I'd have to look and make sure that that's a safe combination. Most of these products are pretty darn safe, but I don't know those two drugs to be used together on a regular basis. I would probably look that up as a veterinarian and check that out. But I assume your veterinarian that dosed out these things felt it was safe for your dog. And if not, you need to question him about that. But, yeah.
I think it's something I could find out on the Internet, which I haven't done yet.
I mean, why not just call your veterinarian first? And he's the one that's dispensing the drug, so he's the one that should be responsible to a good answer. But for me, okay, I'd be happy to look it up for you. I just have to get back to you another time.
Okay. The thing is, the carprofen is by for pain is by our own vet, but we had to go to a specialist, and he found out the dog had high blood pressure, and a different vet prescribed the high blood pressure medicine.
All we do is call up the specialist and say, "Hey, I forgot to tell you that we're on this anti-inflammatory as well. Is there going to be some contraindication to using those two drugs?" And you might be able to find it online.
Thank you very much, sir.
I'm sorry?
I said, thank you very much. I will call the specialist first.
Yeah, I would do that. That'd be the simplest solution.
Thanks, right. Guy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. How would a dog have high blood pressure? They don't have a job. They have to pay the bills. They don't probably worry about their kids. Many don't have any kids. What the heck?
I mean, not sniffing enough butts?
It's called genetics. And some are going to, could be related to overweightness. Some of the same principles that that humans get could be dictating that, or it could just be that genetically he's predisposed to it, and with age or condition is going to demonstrate that and show it clinically. So it's more common than you realize.
Okay.
And it just is.
As really they used to say, what?
I was just going to say, it just kind of reemphasizes how similar human and animal medicine is. I mean, we're all the same. We're all animals. We're just different types, right? Different species. But we have the same basic organ systems, and a mammal is a mammal is a mammal. There's certainly differences, but the basic functions in physiology and biochemistry are often the same.
Okay. As Ed McMahon said for 30 years, here's Johnny. Johnny, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Thank you, Frank. Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Johnny.
AM and the PM.
Hallelujah. What you got?
I found out yesterday that one of my babies has cancer. And okay. She's 9 years old. She's a poodle, and she isn't spayed. She is not spayed. And the aggressive suggestion is that we go in and have her spayed and have her all her mammary glands all removed. So I guess it would be the equivalent of a mastectomy for a dog.
Right.
If I wouldn't be over the top, you know, as sure as I can be about it not spreading. The assessment was that it's very early, and that she had 8 lumps moved 2 weeks ago from her chest wall, and okay. some of them were a cancer or malignant.
Right.
So I just like to get your input. I've been with my vet for a very long time. I love him, trust him. I just would like to get another person's input on just what do you think about that process? And
sure, yeah. So you're saying that she was not spayed, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I definitely think that any mature dog should be spayed, because not only because of issues like this, but also because they can get other conditions like a uterine infection that can be life-threatening after a heat. So there's no reason not to spay her. And I found that, I don't know if they did what we call a lumpectomy, where they just removed the individual lumps, or if they did a radical mastectomy, where they took the entire chain off on either side. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, at this point, 2 weeks ago, they did a lumpectomy, and they took out 8 individual lumps, and some of those were malignant. So the suggestion is, moving forward, that A, I have her spayed, and in the same surgery, I have the mastectomy done on her. They remove all of her mammary glands.
And here's how I would suggest you approach that. First of all, can I ask whether they did a chest film, an x-ray? Because you want to make sure as much as you can without, in humans they would do CT scans and all sorts of things to try and find cancer elsewhere. In animals, we don't typically do that, but you could do an x-ray, because one of the common places that the breast tumor will end up is in the lungs. And if you saw that, that's obviously not a good thing prognostically for your dog. But other than that, in my experience, often the lumpectomies are good enough. But I don't want to tell you that that's the best approach, because it's probably a statistical thing. So for me, I've done a lot of lumpectomies, and I haven't seen the cancer return, especially if they think it's early. But if you do the mastectomy, then you obviously are taking away any further opportunity for that cancer to form. They just have to make sure and get all the mammary tissue and the lymph nodes from that area removed. So either way can work. It just depends on whether you gamble or not. And if you're keeping a close watch on the dog from here on out after the spay surgery and hopefully an x-ray, you can always just go back frequently and just recheck. And that's a lot cheaper and less expensive and less traumatic for the animal than putting him through a full radical mastectomy. But again, I'm not there. I don't see the dog. I'm not your veterinarian. So I'm just giving you some options. Okay?
Sure. Sure. Okay, I appreciate your input. Thank you very
Definitely
much.
Definitely get her spayed, though. That's really important.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you. That's sad.
It's not Judy's turn to cry, which was a song from the 60s. It's Judy's turn to talk to Dr. Doug. Judy, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
Hi. I'm wonderful. I have a couple of questions. I have one cat who's, I guess she's about 3. I don't really know, because I rescued her. And now I got another one, and he's been sneezing since I got him, which is like several months already. But he didn't act sick, but now he's got this book coming out of his eyes and sneezing, and he gave it to my other cat.
Right.
So I'm thinking it's a respiratory, but I want to know, I have 2 little teacup chihuahuas, and I want to know if they could get it to the dog.
No, so my suggestion would be that it's highly unlikely that it'll spread to the dogs. But in terms of the cats, the one problem with adoptions, I appreciate you adopting. The one problem with adopting cats is we can't always see everything they're carrying. So they carry a lot of viruses that are respiratory based, And with a little bit of stress, like coming into a new home with another cat and a couple of dogs, that can allow those viruses to kind of flourish. And then all of a sudden, they're showing these signs. And now what you're describing can become worsened. It can become a pneumonia or just a really bad, nasty mucus-based, you know, conjunctivitis and rhinitis and all that. So your vet will typically get you on some kind of program of medication and also consider often to give you a nebulizing protocol as well. So it's just like you treat a child with a respiratory issue or a human that's got some sort of allergy. And that can keep coming back until the animals get kind of more stabilized in the household. And unfortunately, it does go back and forth between cats. But I don't believe you'll have any issue with the dogs. I think they're totally, most viruses are pretty species specific. Not always, but most of the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I have an appointment with my vet on Saturday, but I couldn't get in before then, and I just thought I'd check with you. Also, I wanted to know if this is true. Someone told me that if you feed your dogs distilled water, that their urine won't smell so bad.
You know, I don't think that's true. I think
that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I don't think that's true so much because the urine smell comes from both metabolism of foodstuffs, and it could be chemistries that are dictated by the genetics of the animal. So there's a lot of other factors that come to play, or how much is the animal drinking, which it allows it to concentrate more. If it concentrates more, it's going to smell more. So I wouldn't put distilled water as a first defense against that. I think you could explore other options. And,
Judy, you could change the odor by feeding the dog asparagus.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be worse, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I know. Now I know what that smells like.
Yeah, isn't that a repulsive, horrible smell?
It is.
I have two little, my two little dogs are under 4 pounds, but they were potty trained on the pad. So when I come home from work, I mean, it really smells.
Well, I would check them out and make sure they're not harboring some low-grade infection, because that can do it too. And if that's not the case...
No, they're very healthy.
Yeah. Urinary tract infection can be very subtle and can present itself, and they can be healthy, but they still have that particular localized infection.
She said they pee on a pad. Yeah. You taught them to pee indoors on a pad? Is that right, Judy?
A lot of people do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe the pad stinks. Maybe it's the pad that stinks. Get a new pad.
Well, that's what it... Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is. I'm sure.
But two
little dogs peeing on a pad, you know... They also eat their poop, which is disgusting.
Good grief.
And I did try that for bid, but it didn't work.
Well, their pee stinks and they have bad breath.
Talk to them about maybe they can alter the dose.
No, they don't. No, I give them greenies.
Okay, well, we're out of time. Judy, good luck with this. That's a couple of problems. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We're out of time. A quick reminder, Dr. Doug, you are brought to everyone by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States for lots of good reasons. We'll do it again next Wednesday, okay?
Thank you so much, everybody. Be good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Thanks to all the callers, too. We had a lot of good callers today. I have a huge news from Thompson Price. Thompson Price Kitchens and Baths is going to move their showroom probably midsummer. They'll be ready to actually make the move out to Chesterfield Valley. Now, what this means is you go by Thompson Price now, there's a lot of money to be saved on countertops and cabinets. They don't want to move all that stuff. And when they do move, this is going to be something pretty spectacular, kind of a revolutionary new way to put a kitchen or bathroom together. But for now, if you go by Thompson Price and you go, ooh, selling out, the great reduction in discount prices, they're not going out of business. The contrary, their business is great. They're moving out to Chesterfield Valley. And again, that probably won't happen till June, July, something like that. But go in there now and take advantage of some tremendous savings as you get ready to enjoy and go ahead and start making plans for your new kitchen or bathroom done by... I can't imagine anybody can do it better than Thompson Price. Thompson Price Kitchens and Baths, the current showroom, is where it's been for a while, in De Pere, about less than a quarter mile from 270 on Manchester. More, of course, at thompsonprice.com. It's 5 o'clock at 590, The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590, The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. President Trump's former personal attorney is finished testifying in a congressional hearing. During remarks today, Michael Cohen stated that he was directed to lie about a hush money payment to cover up an affair. Cohen also said that the president never offered him proof that he's being audited by the IRS. Representative Jimmy Gomez asked Cohen about Trump's tax returns.
Could you presume from that statement that he wasn't under audit?
I presume that he